Thank you. Daher muss ich mich halt
today from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 18, Parikshit, first by a Brahmana boy. And today's text is 21. Tathapi. Yep.
Yep.
Tada.
Tada.
Natha Vashu Sam. Tathapi atharana kavashisham.
Tathapi atharana kavashisham.
Jagat.
Jagat.
Virin chokha haritha karanam ha.
Virin chokha haritha karanam ha.
Jagat virin chokha haritha karanam ha. Se-sham-punat-yanyat-tamo-mukunda
Se-sham-punat-yanyat-tamo-mukunda
Om-nama-loke-bhagavat-padhartaha
Om-nama-loke-bhagavat-padhartaha
Tati-yat-tara-nakava-shisham
Tati-yat-tara-nakava-shisham
Jagad-virin-cho Vitarthanambha
Jagadvayishopa Vitarthanambha
Sishampunatyanyatamomukunda
Sishampunatyanyatamomukunda
Onamaloke Bhagavatthadarthaha
Onamaloke Bhagavatthadarthaha
He said
Tathapiyatthadanakavasishtam Jagatvarinchopahitahanambaha
Sheshampunatyanyatamomukundat
Onamaloke bhagavatpadarthaha
Onamaloke bhagavatpadarthaha
Tathapiyatthadanakavasishtam
Shampuna Pranya Kamo
Mukunda.
Ko Nama Loke Bhagavat Padataha. Atha.
Therefore.
Api.
Api.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Yat.
Yat.
Food.
Padanaka.
Padanaka. Nails of the feet.
Nails of the feet.
Avashisham.
Avashisham.
Emanating.
Emanating.
Jagat.
Jagat.
The whole universe.
The whole universe.
Irincha.
Irincha.
Ramaji.
Ramaji.
Upahita.
Upahita.
Collected.
Collected.
Arhana.
Arhana.
Worship.
Worship.
Ampa.
Ampa.
Water.
Water.
Sa.
Sa.
Along with.
Along with.
Isham.
Isham.
Lord Shiva.
Lord Shiva.
Punati.
Punati.
Purify.
Purifies.
Anyatama.
Anyatama.
Who else?
Who else?
Mukundat.
Mukundat.
Besides the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna.
Besides the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna.
Aha.
Aha.
Who?
Who?
Nama.
Nama.
Name.
Name.
Loke.
Loke.
Within the world.
Within the world.
Bhagavat.
Bhagavat.
Supreme Lord.
Supreme Lord.
Pada.
Pada.
Position.
Position.
Artha.
Artha.
Work.
Work.
Translation and support by the Prabhupada. Who can be worthy of the name of the Supreme Lord but the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna? Brahmaji collected the water emanating from the nails of his feet in order to award it to Lord Shiva as a worshipful welcome. This very water, Ganges, is purifying the whole universe, including Lord Shiva. Now please repeat. Who can be worthy of the name of the Supreme Lord?
Who can be worthy of the name of the Supreme Lord?
But the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna.
But the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna.
Brahmaji collected the water emanating from the nails of his feet, in order to award it to Lord Shiva,
in order to award it to Lord Shiva,
as a worshipful welcome.
As a worshipful welcome.
This very water, the
Ganges,
is purifying the whole universe,
including Lord
Shiva. The conception of many gods in the Vedic literature by the ignorant is completely wrong. The Lord is one without a second, but he expands himself in many ways, and this is confirmed in the Vedas. Such expansions of the Lord are limitless, but some of them are the living entities. The living entities are not as powerful as the Lord's plenary expansion, and therefore there are two different types of expansion. Lord Brahma is generally one of the living entities, and Lord Shiva is the via medium between the Lord and the living entities. In other words, even demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, who are the chief amongst all demigods, are never equal to or greater than the Lord, than Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I think we say that on Saturday, the second offense is to consider the names of demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, and all powerful demigods like Brahma and Shiva are engaged in the worship of Vishnu or Lord Krishna. Therefore, who can be more powerful than Mukunda, Lord Krishna, to be factually called the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The goddess of fortune, Lakshmiji, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are not independently powerful. They are powerful as expansions of the Supreme Lord. and all of them are engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. And so also are the living entities. There are four sects of worshipful devotees of the Lord, and the chief amongst them are the Brahma Sampradaya, Rudra Sampradaya, and Sri Sampradaya, descending directly from Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, respectively. Besides the above mentioned three Sampradayas, there is the Kumara Sampradaya, descending from Sanat Kumara. All of the four original Sampradayas are still scrupulously engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord up to date, and they all declare that Lord Krishna, Mukunda, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and no other personality is equal to him or greater than him. Om Jnanati Nirandasya Jnananjana Shavakaya Dakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Shapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahiyam Dabati Swatantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Paparakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sadrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitham Tam Sudivam Sadvaitam Savarutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Param Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitham Cha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpa Taru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shrivasadi Kaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I'd like to thank all of you for being here and ask for all of your blessings. And I'm sorry, I'm not Chaturatma. He's giving class tomorrow. I think it might have been announced that he was giving today. We switched. He works on Mondays. So, recently I read, I think it was Chutakirti's description of how more than once, I think there were three distinct times at least, when he walked into Srila Prabhupada's room when he was serving as the servant, and Prabhupada was reading his own book, whether Krishna book, teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Nectar of Devotion, different one each time. I'm not sure which book, but Prabhupada, every time, looked up at his servant and said something to the effect, I'm paraphrasing, this book is so wonderful. Even if you read one page, even if a person reads one page, his whole life can become perfect. Even if he reads one paragraph, even if he reads one sentence, even if he reads one word, there's so much in Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna book, all these books, they're so deep and they're so meaningful. And Prabhupada even told the book distributors, even if someone touches the book, he benefits. So what to speak? So when I feel so inadequate approaching Srimad Bhagavatam, one purport has so much in it, What came to me, because the purport ends describing the four Vaishnava Sampradayas, so I remembered a recent trip to Mayapur where we went to the Samadhi of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And anyone who's been there knows that when you circumambulate, then the Bhakti Siddhanta Samadhi, then you go around and each of the four Sampradaya acharyas is there in murti form. And so I found it on my phone, the pictures of the different Sampradaya acharyas and what they taught. And I've heard it many times, or at least several times, probably many times in different classes, and still I can't commit it to memory. Had time with Vinda Prabhu been here, I'm sure he could have told us that he's listening from home, he told me. So I went online and I printed out for my own edification the from Lord Krishna. Lord Brahma is one of the Sampradaya heads, and Madhvacharya is the person who represents as the Sampradaya head within this world. So we're in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, but as Prabhupada described in today's purport, all these Vaishnava Sampradayas are bona fide, and from Sri Lakshmi Ji, Ramanujacharya is the Sampradaya head. Does anybody know who represents Lord Shiva as the Sampradaya head? Okay, it's Vishnu Swami. And the four Kumaras are represented by Nimbarka chapter. And then I found another wonderful list online, which told not only who the Sampradaya heads were, but what they basically established as a new conclusion. So, from the Brahma Sampradaya, Madhvacharya, and Lord Chaitanya. Well, Madhvacharya established what's known as the Sudha Dvaita Vada, purified dualism. And in fact, let's see. Yeah, it's not a very clear picture, but I'm pretty sure he's the one who's like this, that the living entity and the Lord are one. It's dual, it's two, but they're one. So it's a purified dualism. From the Lakshmi Sampradaya, Ramanujacharya established Vishishta Dvaita Vada, specific monism. I can't define it. If there's someone here who can, that's lovely, and I'd love to hear from you.
Shesha Prabhu gave a whole class on it a couple of months ago.
Do you need your notes to do it, or can you remember? Okay. But if you do know, please tell. We'd be happy to hear. Need notes. Okay. So that's good. I'm happy to hear that. From the Lord Shiva Sampradaya, the Rudra Sampradaya, and Vishnu Swami, which is also known as the Ballabha Sampradaya, because Ballabhacharya was also in that line. So he presented the Shuddha Dvaita Vada, purified monism. From the Kumara Sampradaya, which is the Nimbarka Sampradaya, he presented Dvaita Dvaita Vada, monism and dualism. And then the reason why I was happy that even Sesha Prabhu would have to refer to his notes to tell us the distinctions between them, I know there's something that everyone in this room knows, and it's what Lord Chaitanya synthesized out of the gifts of all these four Sampradaya heads. And it's known as Achincha Bheda Abheda Tattva. Because this is something that Prabhupada presented so that we could understand the essence of all the different teachings in a simple way. Simple meaning there's only four words. Simple also that a person who has some faith can draw emphasis from the first word, achintya. It's inconceivable. And if we can simply accept that the Lord's wonderful qualities are inconceivable to us, and that we are Veda and Aveda, we are like Him, we're one with Him in quality, and we are distinct from Him in quantity. And these are going on simultaneously. So there's never a time when we are the Supreme Lord. We're always a little teeny tiny insignificant part of Him. And there's never a time when we're not composed of the same substance He's composed of, which is eternity, full spiritual knowledge, and bliss. That's our actual nature. It's just that we're under a cloud at the present. And so we're perceiving ourselves as Achyut, Nirananda, and Satchit, and Asa. Because we tend to identify with the body, which is obviously temporary. We have small people. We have a very small person that had to leave the room. So the rest of us could focus better on the topics at hand. All of us that are getting elderly remember being young, and we also anticipate there'll come a time when we're not here in this body any longer. We've seen so many of our wonderful devotees in this community and around the world leave. I was remembering His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj. Oh yeah, in the connection. Last night I woke up, I couldn't sleep for about 2 hours. But Krishna very kindly gave me insights that were all on the same theme, because what I picked up from this verse and the Sampradaya heads and me, although having heard them many times, can't keep them in my head. But I do understand the essence, because Prabhupada presented in such a simple way that the essence is there for us. So one of the other examples I thought of was Brihat Bhagavatamrita by Sanatana Goswami, which I have actually never read, but I heard a number of times. And I think maybe the first time I heard it, few friends and I had gone to Mayapur at a time when it wasn't festival time. And His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj was there. And I remember writing him a little note saying, I'm not accustomed to coming to Mayapur, and there not being classes every evening. There was always Bhagavatam class in the morning, but I said, could you please give us some class? And so he agreed. And at that time, Brihat Bhagavatamrita was not yet translated or in print. Maybe it was in the process, but there were no hard copies. And for 3 successive nights, he gave us and quite a number of his own disciples that were there class on the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. So I got the essence of it in such a relishable way from such a wonderful devotee. And what stuck with me, and I happened to see on my table by my bed this morning, that I have a bookmark that has the essence of the whole Brihat Bhagavatamrita on it, and it's a picture of Krishna embracing Gopakumara when he finally comes home back to Godhead, back to Krishna Loka, to assume his eternal relationship with Krishna as a loving friend. And Krishna said, I missed you so much. And if there's anyone here that doesn't know the story without going into detail, but he traveled through so many lifetimes, and he had been given this Gopal mantra by his guru, and wherever he went, whatever position he was in, he chanted the Gopal mantra. So sometimes he was king, sometimes he was exalted Brahmana, sometimes he was Indra, and even he went to Vaikuntha, which is, you know, of course, it's Vaikuntha, it's a place with no anxiety. But still he was a little anxious. Why? Because at heart he wasn't satisfied. He kept chanting this Gopal mantra and he thought, it's very nice seeing all these Lord Vishnu and all these associates with the four arms. But there's something missing. And it was because he actually had a more elevated, less opulent. The opulence is there in Goloka Vrindavan, but it's covered by sweetness. So we're here, we have eternal, blissful spiritual bodies, and they're covered by a cloud. In there, all the opulence, which is unlimited, is covered by even more unlimited sweetness of loving exchange. So, like that, whether you read the entire thing or you get the essence of it by hearing from some wonderful devotee, the essential truth, spoken concisely, is true eloquence. Which is a statement in it. Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I can't, it actually reads, true eloquence is essential truth spoken concisely. To which Borijan Prabhu always responds, can you elaborate on that? Bat to do. So I also thought how, another example I thought of is how, there's four Vedas, which were mentioned, I think. Yajur. Maybe they weren't mentioned in the purport, but I thought of them as another topic that's very vast, very great, has so many ways to uplift the conditioned souls and gradually bring them to Krishna's shelter. But without reading all the Vedas, for which we're neither qualified nor have sufficient time, we can still get the essence by reading Bhagavad Gita. Because Krishna says, and who can fill in for me? Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matat smitir jnanam apohanam cha vedais cha saver aham eva vedya vedanta veda eva chaham. So I am this sarvasya chaham. I'm in the heart, I'm seated in the heart of every living entity. From me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I'm the compiler of the Vedas and the knower of the Vedas. So without, there's no necessity that we should read all the Vedas. We just have to know that Krishna is the source of all the Vedas and the goal of all the Vedas. And then we come and see him dressed so beautifully, so elegantly, every day different, with wonderful shringar and flower garlands and some people actually get to make the flower garlands that the Lord is going to wear tomorrow. And it's just such a concise, simple way to approach the absolute truth by doing a little seva for him. Whether singing like this Mataji did this morning, her voice like a bell, so clear, so strong, it was so beautiful. I felt like a frog singing after her. But you know, Krishna, even they have frogs in Goloka Vrindavan. He and the cowherd boys, they imitate their jumping. If the frog dives in a well, they also jump in, or else they lean down into the well and shout words and call it ill names when the echo comes back and laugh. You know, so there's a place for everyone in Krishna's pastimes, whether bell-like voice or the bell itself, or a frog-like voice or the frogs themselves. Another essence of complicated things that I thought of, and I think this is referred to in the purport today. Oh yeah, he starts out, the conception of many gods in the Vedic literature by the ignorant is completely wrong. The Lord is one without a second, but he expands himself in many ways. This is confirmed in the Vedas. Such expansions of the Lord are limitless, but some are the living entities. So then he goes on and describes, I mean, there's unlimited number of living entities, and there are also unlimited numbers of incarnations of the Lord. And many of them are described in the first canto, third chapter. And if you can't remember all of them, it's okay. All you have to remember is Ete Chamsa Kala Pumsam Krishnas Tu Bhagavan Swayam Indradi Vyakulam Vidayanti Yuge Yuge. So all of the chapter had described one incarnation after another. And they're all wonderful incarnations of Krishna. But at the end, the description is given that out of all these incarnations, they're either the plenary portions, and plenary means equal, in a certain split equal potency, or portions of the plenary portions. But Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So again, it's very simple. Prabhupada said devotional service is simple for the simple. And that's really good for us. Because in this age of Kali, men and women have but short lives. We are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and, above all, always disturbed. Can anybody relate? Swarga and I have been reading, actually we've been at it for a couple years because we don't read every night, and sometimes but there's this condensed Bhagavatam, told sort of like Krishna book tells the 10th canto. The verses are all here, but told in story form, compiled by Purnapragya Prabhu. But the other day, we're in the 11th canto, and we were reading how unfulfilled lust brings, first, that there's desires that are based on false ego. If we can't stop desiring, Prabhupada said, you know, only a dead body is desireless. But we have desires, and we can use them to serve Krishna. As conditioned soul, our unfortunate tendency is that we misidentify with the material body and we use our desires to fulfill the needs and hankerings of the body, gross or subtle. But anyway, he was saying, and so when desires are unsatisfied, they bring frustration, and frustration brings quarreling. And it just hit me. I mean, it's in the Bhagavad Gita. We've read it so many times. From lust, anger arises from anger. But anger is one thing. But how does it manifest? And it's anger from me to you, or you to me, or her to him, or him to him. It's quarreling. It's quarreling. And I immediately thought of, you know, some of these conversations that take place on the internet. It's just like, oh, outrageous. And then it became clear to me in that moment that it's because we're all so much stuck in false ego. We have a particular perspective on something, and so we look at it that way. But because of being covered by the cloud of illusion, we tend to think that my way is the way I've understood, and so your way, if it's different from mine, must certainly be wrong. And so in order to convince you, I just say my position a little louder, a little more forcefully, Or with a little more insulting words. I'm like, is that going to solve the quarrel? I don't think so. So it behooves us to remember in the course of our daily activities that this other person who may have a different point of view than I do is also part of Krishna, is also composed of eternity, knowledge, and spiritual bliss, and find some way to find a common ground, even if it's just by giving them some prasadam, or by honoring from a distance, instead of trying to beat them down with our point of view. Anyway, that just came in my mind. One more example that came to me in the night of something simple to remember was in Lord Chaitanya's talks with Ramananda Roy, when he's asking him what is the highest thing. And Ramananda Roy began with, was yat karoshi yat ajnasi, the first thing, you know, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away should be done as an offering to me, Krishna's telling. And of course, that's true. It's not that it's not true. But Lord Chaitanya said, there's more. This is external. Can you tell me more? So he went higher and higher. And at the point at which Lord Chaitanya accepted, this is good, was when he said, to hear from devotees. To hear from devotees about the Lord's glories. And then, of course, it went on to higher and higher levels of Krishna consciousness dominating in Radha Bhava. But, so that, I think, is a very important point that simple people can focus on. If I'm having difficulty, if I can't seem to do everything right, if things are in fact seeming to go wrong, what can I do? Oh, I can hear. So you can turn on the little red box, or go on the internet on YouTube and find a lecture from some wonderful person or kirtan. So all these things, the more we flood our hearing with nectar, the less likely antagonistic poisons are to come out from our mouths. So it's the right time to stop and ask if anybody has comments or questions. So I'll do that. Sandini, is there a microphone somewhere? Oh, thanks, Sandini. She's got the mic. We were just waiting for the microphone. You'll be next. I think it's on. Oh. For that one, for in detail, Bhadra Prabhu should be here because he's so good at telling the stories that come in the Srimad Bhagavatam. I know that in the pastime of Lord Ramana Dev, when he approached Bali Maharaj in the form of a very charming small boy, Brahmana dwarf, Brahmana boy, he was so attractive. And Bali Maharaj said, you know, I'm known for my generosity, what can I give you? And he first said, which thing happened first? No, he said, I don't need much. If you want to give me something, just give me 3 paces of land. And he's just this little dwarf boy. And 3 paces will barely be, you know, 2 of these tiles together, maybe 3. But what will you do? But Bali Maharaj laughed at him and he said, come on, I'm the king of the world. You can ask for whatever you want. And Upendra gave nice response. He said, if I'm not satisfied with 3 paces of land, I'll never be satisfied. And this is actually the condition of all of us. We're asked to speak. If we're satisfied with what we have, that's one of the qualities, the minical qualities. It's a quality in the mode of goodness. And if we're not satisfied with what Krishna gives us, then the tendency is to be greedy, and that can lead to so much difficulty. But anyway, the pastime goes on, and finally, Bali Maharaj accepted, okay, if you only want 3 paces of land, you take it. Even warned by his spiritual master, Shukracharya, don't give it to him, because he could understand this is Lord Vishnu. But you always told me to worship Lord Vishnu. Why something different now? So you take your 3 paces. So the first pace, he covered the world, and the next pace, the top of the universe. He pierced the covering of the universe. It was a second pace that broke through Viraja water between the spiritual and material worlds, and that's how the Ganga came down. So she came at that point with such force that there's a whole long, many chapters in the Bhagavatam describing how what to do, and finally King Bhagirath, I think it was, he did some sacrifice, something like that. I could mess it up, and if you know it, I'm getting you tell. But anyway, so they, and she was afraid to come. She said, if I go there, all those sinful living entities, they'll bathe in my waters and I'll get all these sinful reactions. And it wasn't Lord Shiva, and she was also afraid she would destroy the world with her force. And he said, no, Lord Shiva said, you come on my head. I'll break the force, and then the devotees will bathe, the purified souls will bathe in your water. So whatever sins have been deposited there, they'll be again collected by the pure devotees that go to bathe there. So she was okay, she came down. And that's why Lord Shiva's always pictured with a little waterfall coming off his head, because he caught the Ganga. Is that okay? It may not be exactly what you're looking for, but you want to tell?
No, I want to hear you.
Okay. And Prabhu, you had something you want to take this microphone
yes.
and ask a question?
Yes.
Okay, so you asked and
I'll be... Yes, thank you. Very beautiful class. I want to know about the 4 sampradayas. They are still working?
Yes. Oh, actually, yeah, the Balabha Sampradaya is the one in the temple in Vrindavan. They worship Lord Krishna as Balagopal. Am I correct? And yeah, they're all still current. And there's a wonderful anecdote told by Atmatattva Prabhu, and I heard it recently. I don't know where it's written or if it's in a video somewhere, but I'll try to convey it as best I can. And somebody that heard it recently can also help. Srila Prabhupada was at the Kumbh Mela with disciples. And one man who was the head of another sampradaya, or he was in another sampradaya, Vaishnava sampradaya, he came to see Srila Prabhupada, and he brought his little son. And he was honoring and worshiping Srila Prabhupada very devotedly. And Prabhupada said, give me your son. And the man said, oh, certainly I will, Swami Maharaj, but not just now. I have to educate him. He's learning the Vedas. Well, no, it's all right. You just give him to me now. I will bring him back to you. But let him just finish his schooling first. This exchange went on maybe 3 times. And so, but he was so very respectful to Srila Prabhupada. So, some years later, when Atmatattva Prabhu had a boys ashram in Vrindavan, it was break time, so he took the boys on break to South India. He was from South India. So they went there, and he had heard that this one sampradaya, which had for many, 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 many years, decades, been split into many different factions that could never agree, had again become united as one. And they had a very young head of their sampradaya who had accomplished this, bringing all the different factions together. So Atmatattva told the boys, I think this is a very important thing to see. Let's go and see this person. And when they went there, this very young sampradaya head that had managed to bring all the different factions together was that boy, the little boy that the father had said, I will bring you, I will bring you. And Atmatattva was like, he didn't know, you know, if the Prabhupada definitely gave the blessing. And I left out something about Prabhupada had blessed him in some way that he would become a chariot. I can't remember. If you know the details, please
just
tell.
The gentleman asked the Prabhupada to give
blessings.
And then Srila Prabhupada said, you give me yours.
Right. So
and then he still gave him.
He gave the blessings. But I don't know if there was some specific blessing, but this boy, this young boy, had become a young man that managed to unite all the different factions. And so this young man, first, he said to Atmatattva Prabhu, do you remember when you used to carry me on your back? He would give him piggyback rides around at the Kumbh Mela. And he was remembering. And then this young sampradaya head went on to tell all his disciples that were gathered there, on and on and on, the glories of Srila Prabhupada. Yeah.
When you were speaking, Shyam Sundar drew a flower.
Oh. Oh, that's nice and sweet that you should say Shyam Sundar, because when I was reading in the purport, and Prabhupada said, Brahma, Rishiva, and Lakshmi, they're never equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Which made me remember Shyamasundar Das' daughter, Saraswati. And Prabhupada said her way of preaching was so perfect. Little 4-year-old she was, going up to people and saying, do you know who is the person? Do you know who is Krishna? And if they said no, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then she would run away. Isn't she a perfect creature? So even a child can grab the essence. And you're named after Kolavecha Sriha,
yes.
Right? Yes?
That's
so such a wonderful devotee. Right? And if anybody is not familiar with it, his namesake, Kolavecha Sridhar, wasn't normally in the Sangha of Lord Chaitanya and his associates, Gupta and Mukunda and Dvaitacharya and Srivas Thakur. They would all be having kirtan together, but they didn't know this person. But the day that Lord Chaitanya moved aside the chaligrams and sat down on the altar and said, worship me, he showed his divine form as the Supreme Lord. Then he was, at one point during that Mahaprakash, he was calling, Sridhar, Sridhar, and they were wondering, who is this Sridhar? And he told them where to go, and they went there and brought this Kolavecha Sridhar, and he was the one who, he was very poor, and he just made he lived by a banana grove, and he made his living taking the flowers from the banana trees and selling the bananas and sometimes cooking a real nice vegetable from the flower of the banana tree. But Lord Chaitanya, as a scholar, he would go there and he would quibble And this was the kind of quarreling that was so relishable. Oh, Nandini, didn't you tell this the other day? That because she was giving class, I was at home, she was telling, and who knows what Lord Chaitanya did for 2 hours every day. About as long as it takes us to chant our japa. And nobody knew, and she said, every day for 2 hours he was quarreling with Polavecha Sridhar over the price of the bananas. And so when he brought him there, he was giving blessings to everyone, and he asked this Polavecha Sridhar, so you asked for some boon, you asked for some boon. He said, I can give you universe, I can give you, you know, nice life, nice house. You know, he was so poor that there were more holes in his thatch roof than there was thatch. But he said, no, the only thing I want is that if I get to always quarrel over you with the price of bananas, I never want that to end. So Lord Chaitanya used to tell him, you say you're a poor man, but you have the greatest treasure, and one day I will reveal this to the world. So that was the day when offered everything material he could possibly want. He didn't want anything. He just wanted these loving exchanges with the Lord. And Lord said, this is the greatest treasure, and I told you I'll expose it one day. And so he made Polavecha Sridhar glorified in front of all the devotees. So it's so nice to have you here as his namesake, and thanks for faithfully serving all these years.
So that boy was from Ramanandi Sampradaya.
Ramanandi, thank you.
I have the pastime.
Oh, cool. You can tell. Tell, come.
It's a very long one.
Oh, well, I already pretty much told it. It's 9 o'clock.
But,
okay, so I can at least read the beginning part. This is from Prabhupada Lila. So this Ramanandi, this is the boy from the Kumbh Mela that Prabhupada met with his father. This Ramanandi sprinkled the water on his head, sprinkled some on all of us. Oh no, this is the father of the boy. He said to Prabhupada, the father sprinkled water on Prabhupada's feet, or washed his feet. He washed Prabhupada's feet. He put the water on his head, sprinkled it on everyone, and then said, your feet are the actual sangha. What will we get? Bathing that sangam, your feet will purify the Ganges. And since you are not going to the Ganges, I brought the Ganga here. I will mix some of this charanamrita in the Ganga. And that's when Srila Prabhupada replied, give me your son. I will make him an acharya.
How are you doing?
Thanks a lot. Perfect. So thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam.